we've got to be brave enough as leaders to look in the mirror. Why is it that no one wants to work here? Why is it that people are doing side jobs? Why is it that we've had a bunch of customer complaints? And to me, there's no better time than that to really dive into bringing the group together and saying, hey, guys, this is what we're about. Like, and if you're not about it, well, then you may not fit here. And that's okay, you know, to each their own. But you may want to find a place that's going to support your values. But this is what we're about. And we're all aligned. Can I get everybody's, you know, commitment that we're going to operate like this?
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Guess who's back, 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 back again, again. Oh, I see you smiling, Chad. You see you love, you see you are, you love Eminem. I could tell. He's an Eminem lover.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And 22 Savage, clearly.
That's right. Played a lot of the soundtrack of my high school years.
That's right. What's up, listeners? It's ya boys, Cristiano and my co-host, Chad Peterman, who is not in an airport today, actually on the second floor of the Peterman Brothers compound in his corner office, looking dapper as usual, one AirPod in, one AirPod out. Or is there both? Are you dual AirPodded up? Nope, dual AirPodded up, my bad. Got a fresh fade, looking good, beard's trimmed. And ready for another exceptional episode. Is that right, Chad?
That is correct. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hey, and by the way, I'm going to see you here in a few days. And so though this is posting after the Indianapolis 500, hope you all had a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure Chad and I are going to have a great Memorial or had a great Memorial Day weekend. And hopefully the rain wasn't awful or there was no rain or moderate rain because we got to get out on beautiful Sweetwater Lake. So that's hopefully going to be the plan. You know, is we're going to have a good time. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, buddy. You think
me as well.
I'm really grateful that our wives plan at this time and not us.
That is helpful. That works a lot better. Usually my favorite. I got all my honeydew chores done for the arrival of our guests. But yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good weekend.
Cool. Well, so let's go ahead and jump into this episode. So we don't have a guest on this one because we are each other's guests. So we're going to, you know, and this is something that came up from something I was thinking about, and I shared it with Chad and thought this could be a decent episode and applicable to really everybody. So, you know, everyone, you know, listening to this, if you're in business, if you're working for someone, if you've started your own business, you know, if you're new, if you're wherever, it doesn't matter. If you're private equity, it doesn't matter. There's got to be a purpose to what you're doing. At least I hope there's a purpose to what you're doing. And if not, maybe this will help you kind of find out what that is or redefine what that is to continue to move forward. But this whole episode is going to be around purpose. I think that it's both applicable to, well, I know it's both applicable to business and your personal life. Like, what's your purpose? What are you trying to do? And I've battled with this. So, you know, if you're listening right now, hang on. Like, I promise you this is going to land. It's not cheesy. But it's interesting when you think about, you know, even for you, Chad, when you think about going into business, you're in a generational business. I'm not. Like, I went into a business and I was like, what's my purpose going to be? Like, some people it's like, oh, I want to make a lot of money. Well, like, I believe your purpose has to be greater than money. And if you do it right, you know, the money will follow. But my purpose has, you know, in the 16 years of being in business, has changed. And I think that's normal, given the circumstances that I've been through and bringing on a private equity partner, does change the way you think about, you know, like when you're used to driving your own, you know, race car, you know, and now you are, you know, the crew chief, like it's hard, you know, you have to adjust yourself mentally on like, what's my purpose now? You know, you got to find something new to follow, to chase, to stay engaged. And maybe you don't, but for me, you know, I had to like realign myself with like, wow, I legit no longer am the majority owner of our business. And I've driven towards that for so long. And I had to like sit and think like, man, what is my purpose today? Well, it gave me a chance to kind of reflect back to the original purpose of doing all this, was to provide, you know, digital marketing services to the home services industry to help scale it and grow it and be an influential and an educational piece and a great partner in these businesses to help all these other contractors grow and scale their companies and, you know, provide for their employees and do all those things. No different than why we started this podcast is to give back to the industry that I care about so much. So if I go back to focusing on that, I'm doing the same thing, but I'm just in a different position. So like I had to pump the brakes a bit and be like, damn, like what is my purpose in this business today? And it was because I took my mind off of the, you know, the original foundation of this thing. It's like, man, it's giving back. You know, I am still doing that. It's just, you know, I'm not the only leader in the business. So if you're listening right now too, and you started your business, you know, you probably are like, hey man, right now my purpose is just to get a job today, you know, and get, you know, keep the roof over my head and keep the, you know, gas in the trucks. Or you've gotten this thing to $1 million, you got a few employees and you're like, hey, my purpose is to keep them busy. Like you got a purpose, you know, and it can change and evolve, but it's a real thing to think about, right? Because even in your personal life, you know, if we all go through, you know, different circumstances and you may have to reevaluate, you know, what is my, like, what am I trying to accomplish? What are my goals? I went to Matt Rife, comedy here at him, Chad.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ann and I went to this Matt Rife show a few days ago, and he was talking about, you know, goals and how goals change. And he was asking somebody in the crowd, that's like part of his shtick, right? As he interacts with the crowd. And he asks this girl, she's 26, you know, what's your goals? Like, what do you want to do in life? And she's like, I don't know. He's like, you got no goals? And she's like, nah, I don't know. Like nothing to aspire. Like you had no inspiration. Like you have no, like, what is your purpose? I can't imagine sitting in that position and not wanting to do something. Even though I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do in business, I had like personal goals by the time I was, you know, I've always kind of had them. But when I was in my 20s, I was like, I thought I was going to race the Indianapolis 500. We've had this conversation. I thought for sure I was going to race it, and it got close. And that was, you know, that was driving me, was trying to become, you know, the first person in my family, of all the racers in my family, to race the 500. But then when I got into business, it's because my purpose had changed. I like had more things I was responsible for and things I needed to accomplish and stuff like that. Now you came into, you know, your dad's business. You and Tyler both came into your dad's business. And I'll bet you that there's been some shift in your purpose since when you and Tyler first came into the business versus where you're at, you know, today in a significantly larger operation in significantly different times too. So like, did you go through the same thing? Like I had to go through this mental shift, you know, over the last few years on, man, what am I doing? Like, what is my goal? Like, what is my purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that over the years, it's shifted. I think that's natural. I think our personal lives play a part in that, too. You know, I had started in business and then, you know, along the way, I've gotten married, had kids, life's changed, you know, a house and different things like that, that, you know, when you're younger, you don't necessarily think about. And so I would say that, you know, for me, at least just getting into the business, at the beginning, I don't know that I really had a purpose. It was just work, right? Yep. You're young, hungry, you had a lot of time, just go work and see if we can't grow something. And I don't even know that I was like super clear on that. I think that the blessing that, you know, to all the business owners out there, I think the blessing that we have is, you know, I talk a lot about, at least to our people, is, you know, there is no such thing as work-life balance. It's more trying to find work-life purpose. And to me, the cool thing that I get to do every day is I get to do the same thing at work that I try to do at home as a dad and as a husband and, you know, son and all that fun stuff, is just try to impact the lives of people. You know, I think that's the interesting piece that, you know, you talked about a little bit in your kind of journey is potentially losing a little bit of that because you feel like you lost maybe a piece of yourself. Like,
yeah, right.
This used to be just me and now it's not all me. And then, you know, how do I kind of grapple through that? And I think it's important to understand that, you know, as a business owner, you employ, you know, a lot of people, a few people, whatever it may be. And so to me, it's extremely important to connect your purpose to the business. And then the business has to connect also to the people, because if they don't find purpose in the work that they do, it's going to be difficult to, you know, retain employees, build a really good culture. And so it's all got to connect in one way or another. And that's why I always talk about, you know, like culture, it's a buzzword, right? Culture, to me, that's part of kind of wrapped into purpose. But, you know, culture is active. We've got to be, as leaders, we've got to be looking to make sure that that purpose is front and center. What is our purpose? Well, our purpose, you know, at least here, is to impact the lives of others. We do that on a daily basis by fixing people's stuff. Hopefully, you know, we took their bad day to a good day, or, you know, got them out of a jam, or whatever that is. But the hope is that our people, as they perform that service, also kind of recognize their purpose and that they're doing more than just fixing a furnace. You may be turning back on the heat for a family in the middle of winter, or turning on the AC in the middle of summer, or whatever it may be. So I think it's, you know, it does sound kind of hot pie in the sky type stuff. But I also think it's been a critical part of us being able to scale a business is, you've got to have that, that extra something in there, as opposed to just going and doing the work every day. Yeah, that can, you can get burnout really, really quickly doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I think as I was listening to you, I thought about a phrase. And the phrase is, purpose is back of house and culture is front of house. So if you think about it, because, you know, the purpose allows, you know, your purpose is kind of something that you've are internalizing, right? Like you come up with your own thing. Maybe you're saying it outwardly, but I'm saying, like, you have to come up with your own purpose. My purpose is to go and help families all over the state of Indiana or Indianapolis or wherever you're at. And yes, the things that you do to serve those people is, you know, furnaces, air conditioners, things like that. But that's not, you know, that's what you're doing. But the why behind it is, or your purpose behind it is, you want to help families, you know, and that fulfills you. And then that creates a culture, because you talked about, like, you have to take into consideration, what are your own personal, like, values, right? Because I believe values are a part of your purpose. And then how are those values applicable to your business? And or are they? Maybe they're not, you know, because, you know, sometimes people miss the boat on that. You said one thing right out of the gate that I thought was pretty interesting, and I didn't even think about it, is some of you are just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants right now. You're just doing what you think you need to do to keep the business going, or you just, because you were told you got to come to work, you got to start working, you got to do something. But I have to believe, if you're listening to the podcast, either you're one, you're listening just for entertainment; two, it's because you really like Chad; or three, it's because you're actually trying to better yourself in whatever position that you're in. And if you are, there's some purpose in that, right? The purpose is you're trying to make yourself better. But
yeah,
it does change, right? No matter which, you know, where you're at in your journey.
Yeah, I think it can change. I think that, you know, when you talk about purpose as it relates to kind of maybe your company's core values or your own personal core values, to me, your purpose can change, but your values should stay pretty consistent. You know, I know we did, and I recommend this to anybody. We brought in a consultant probably back in, call it 2019, 2020, in that area somewhere. And basically, we had her, she was brought in to help us basically develop our company values and kind of, you know, really start to put words to what our purpose was as a company. And she did an amazing job. She interviewed a ton of people in the organization, like, hey, what is this place? Like, what are you doing? Like, why do you work here? All of these things. And it was really cool to see, like, kind of everybody come together to create what was already in existence. It was there. That's what made it different here. But then to really put words behind it. And I think what that allowed us to do, and how we make decisions today, you know, if it's an employee issue or something like that, we always go back to, are they following the core values? Were they in violation of one or multiple of these? And, you know, how big of an offense is that? And so it really gives you kind of a, you know, a measuring stick for what you're going to accept. And to me, once you get those values aligned, then it makes it really easy to kind of develop that purpose and always have something kind of to ground back to in those values.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, makes total sense. I think that your even your values, though, can change and adjust as you know, as the business grows too, right? Because if you, like, absolutely, when you said you had, you know, I mean, let's talk about if someone was to go and ask, like a consultant was to go and ask your employees when you guys first started versus where you're at today, well, I bet you're going to get a swing, right? Because there's far more people. And it's like, it's harder, right? It is harder to maintain culture in a bigger business because you get more people, right? But the core values are what's supposed to be the foundation of all the things. If you just make whatever decision based on these core values, then you know you're gonna be okay, right? Like, we're gonna you know, as long as you don't make the mistake, you know, time and time again, always use the core values as your foundation. But even those can change. Like, you know, when we do our executive retreat every year for Rhino, one thing we always revisit is, do any of our core values need to change? You know, and or do we need to add any or subtract any based on where the business is at and the feedback that we've gotten from employees, which, by the way, is important. So I'm glad that you guys did that, because we at the top of the mountain might view the business one way, whereas those who are at the bottom of the mountain, I'm not saying that negatively, I'm just saying, you know, different layers of the business might not see the same thing. And we need to understand why, right?
By now, you've probably heard how much of a proponent I am for BlueOn, but I'm not the only one. When you talk to service managers using BlueOn, the stories all sound very familiar. Nick Christensen over at Herbal Heating says his team saved 46 hours in just the first month. Between the parts lookup, wiring diagrams, and AI troubleshooting, his techs are solving issues faster and ordering the right part the first time. It's even streamlined communications between the techs and the parts department. They just screenshot over the right part from BlueOn and send it over. It's simple, it's accurate, and it works. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the description and book a quick demo to see it in action.
Yeah, I think that's critically important is understanding, you know, from the, you know, the new guy that just started in the industry, you know, what's his view of, you know, the company, where we're at, what we're doing. Yeah, they're not going to have the same perspective that I'm going to have, but their perspective needs to be somewhat aligned with what I'm about. And, you know, I think it was interesting, you know, one of the pieces of the exercise that we did was she interviewed me and basically did a personal interview, like, well, what are your values? And it's unique and I think, you know, really cool that we have the opportunity leading organizations is that, you know, it was really my goal to have my personal values kind of align with the company. If this is the place that I'm going to lead, well, I want to make sure that I'm acting in accordance with it. It wouldn't be, you know, night and day different from how I act on a daily basis. And I think that makes sense, right? Those are the people that you want to attract. Those are the people that you want to work with. Those are the people that you want to build something with, are people that are aligned with what it is that you do and how you go to market from a personal standpoint or even as a company.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it's important to, you know, to share, especially if you have multiple people in the organization and listen, maybe I'm telling you something you don't already know, or I'm telling you something you already know. Chad can't control all that with all those people. So you got to have, you know, different levels of leadership following the same thing. And I do think, you know, at around, you know, Rhino, we've done a few different things just on core values is somebody's got to constantly be communicating that, like, and you can't connect with everybody. So somebody has to be responsible for that, whether that's your leadership team, your management team. And listen, even if you're small and you have just a small group of employees, you're probably wearing many hats and running all over the place and doing a lot of things. And so it is easy to lose sight of, you know, making sure we get back to our core values and things like that. But when you're a bigger organization, you still got to have your management, different layers of management doing the same thing as you and saying, hey, let's not forget, you know, what our core values are or whatever it is that you guys do for your, you know, your cultures. You can't handle all that on your own. You got to have help.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and I think it's too, you know, and I kind of spoke to this, but like if you're a smaller organization now, but have aspirations to be bigger, there's no better time than now to get really crystal clear on what those values are. What is the purpose of our business? How does that maybe differ from others in the market or that you compete with and different stuff like that? Because it truly is a recruiting tool as well. If you want to attract the right type of people, we all know how much it costs to, you know, you know, have to fire an employee and how much time, energy, money that you've spent on training them, only to find out, oh, well, their core values don't align with what we are doing. And that's one of the things we try to do in the interview process. You know, part of our interviews are, here's our five core values. Do they align with what you believe in? Because this is what we're about. And so, you know, I think doing that, and then, you know, as to your point, is just reiterating it. It's got to be spoken all the time. You've got to put those out there, or else they just become lost. And that's something even for us, you forget from time to time, because you get bogged down in the day to day, the busyness, everything's going on, trying to fight fires, all that stuff. That you've got to remember that people need to be reminded. And that's okay. We all need to be reminded of it sometimes. That's why you and I are doing this, because we talked about it. And it's like, oh, well, shoot, I guess I need to think about that. So I think that there's no better time than now to do this exercise. And I think, I don't know what your experience was, but anytime that we kind of have an exercise where we kind of think back on these, it's a good thing. It gets us kind of realigned and gets us out of the noise of the day to day, and really makes us kind of focus in on what's truly important.
Yeah, man. And because it makes you reflect, you reflect back on why one value might potentially change. And then like causes like a whole different discussion on like, here's X, Y, or Z things that happened that made me, you know, question that should change, or X, Y, Z that, you know, affirms that yes, this is still a core value of ours, but it creates conversation. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
I
was going to ask you a question. I got a question for you. You market for all these companies out there. Would you say that the companies that are more aligned and seeing more success, can you, even from, you know, being a third party in these businesses as, you know, kind of their digital marketing go-to, can you see, or could you take a guess at which ones are aligned on purpose and which ones aren't?
It's really clear to me. And I'll tell you, the ones that you can see it in performance, which you might be on here listening and be like, oh, that's bullshit. I'm telling you, you can see it in performance because teams are aligned. They're marching to be the same drum. There's belief in one another. There's trust in one another. You do the things that you say you're going to do. You're living your core values, assuming your core values are decent core values. But yeah, you absolutely do. All the way down to, you know, because we're listening to every single phone call that comes in, even all the way down to the CSRs or the office managers, whoever's answering the phone is, you know, you can almost tell a business that is running smooth and which ones are having hiccups. And just because you have a bad CSR doesn't mean that you have a bad business. But if that same CSR is bad over and over and over and over for months and months and months, well, what are you doing to help fix that person? Are you living your own core values of helping them get better? Because it doesn't seem like that you are. So like little things like that are indicators. You might be able to see it in, you know, and I won't mention any names, but like a contractor. And you know, Chad, like I don't work with a lot of individual contractors for the company anymore, but I'm mostly involved with any of our larger players or private equity or franchises. But, you know, because I've been around so long, I had a smaller guy reach out, you know, and he's talking about, hey man, you guys are doing a great job. I can't pay the bill anymore. Like I can't pay for this. And I was like, well, and like, what's going on, man? Like, why can't you pay for it? And he said, I can't keep good help. You know, like I can't get people to answer the phone the right way. When I get somebody to answer the phone, my sales team can't sell. And my sales team's doing my installers are doing side jobs. Like, I just can't keep it together. And I was like, you feel bad. So I'm like, hey man, we'll pump the brakes on everything. Like we'll pause everything until you're ready. Right. Cause that's part of our values, you know, is integrity. And I think having integrity is a really good thing to, you know, for all of us. But he was, vulnerable enough to come and tell me like, hey man, my stuff's messed up. It's not you. It's me. I need to fix some things. And so I went back. He's a great dude, by the way. And I went back to him and I said, well, what are you doing to change it? Because if you said this keeps happening over and over and over again, like, are you putting any fail safes in place? Like, what is it? You know, you have your core values. They're great. How frequently are you going over this with your leadership? Dude, he wasn't going over any of this stuff with his leadership at all. Just trusting them to do it, right? Like, they're probably doing it. Bad move. I know that sounds silly. But sometimes getting back to those basics of the why behind the business and getting people re-energized and re-excited about the business is an answer for you to get it started. You know, because you got to get people to believe. You can't go do the job without the people, right? So, yeah, I certainly can see it in certain businesses. And you know, the bigger companies are the ones where I don't have as much visibility into it, right? Because they're big companies, they're functioning, you know, they're high volume. So it's like nothing really stands out to me unless I hear or see people posting in the social platforms. You know, you can kind of get the vibe from that way. But if I can, you know, from my tenure in this business and my gut intuition and just like the indicators, I can definitely tell which ones are functioning, you know, which are all like rowing in the same direction, which ones aren't for the most part.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point, right? As a leader, you know, and I think it's kind of a cheesy term, but something I've kind of leaned into is kind of your own personal brand as the leader. Because in a lot of instances, people are going to look to you as to what the company is all about. So, you know, when you think about, you know, how you interact on social media, interact in the community, interact with your team, a lot in my mind can be drawn from that, just as you can see kind of from the exterior and kind of know, hey, yeah, this one, they seem to be really aligned. They're firing on all cylinders versus, oh, you know, I can't keep anybody. No one's following the rules, all of this. I think that we have to be brave enough, much like the example you gave, you know, we've got to be brave enough as leaders to look in the mirror. Why is it that no one wants to work here? Why is it that, you know, people are doing side jobs? Why is it that, you know, we've had a bunch of customer complaints? And to me, there's no better time than that to really dive into, you know, bringing the group together and saying, hey, guys, this is what we're about. Like, and if you're not about it, well, then you may not fit here. And that's okay, you know, to each their own. But you may want to find a place that's going to support your values. But this is what we're about. And we're all aligned. Can I get everybody's, you know, commitment that we're going to operate like this? And I think that's a critical part where so often, especially in this industry, we want to blame everybody else as to why we can't find good people or people don't want to work here. And oftentimes it's potentially you as the leader that need to do some soul searching and figure out why is that. You're the leader. So if they don't want to follow, they don't want to follow you.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Yeah, so let me throw something at you real quick. Because I mean, like to tie up what you're just saying is, you know, people, you hear it all the time, people leave leaders, not, you know, businesses, or people leave your leaders, not companies. 100% believe in that, by the way. But sometimes it's because of the leadership at the top, you know, that they are potentially not living out the values or the purpose of the company, but they're faking it. Right. And then that becomes inherently obvious that they are, I mean, just it comes across, it's fake. Right. And, or what you say you do, you don't do. Right. And I think that actually happens quite a bit. And sometimes it's, you just got to like bring yourself back. Cause maybe it's not like ill intent. Like it's not, you know, there weren't ill intentions. It's just like the business took you one way and you're like, ah, shit, I got to get back to my core values and doing business this way. Cause you think, oh, I got to chase the dollar. Maybe your integrity slips a little bit chasing the dollar. You're like, oh shit, I got to bring this thing back. Cause that affects the overall reputation of you, your personal brand and the business. But the point I was going to get to with this is, when do you think is a good time for someone to identify like, hey man, maybe it's time for me to like change the, like maybe my, maybe I'm not these things. Maybe I'm actually more of these things right here. So is have you been through that? I can tell you like a couple different times where I've thought through shit. I need to change a couple of, and not necessarily with Rhino, but you know, I have investments in other businesses. But when do you think is like a, or what do you think is a good indicator for our listeners to know like, shit, maybe I should rethink like what I'm about, like what's my why, what's my purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when you're looking and kind of searching is, you know, back to kind of not only purpose, but passion. Like, do you really love what you do? And if you don't, that's okay. You know, I've talked to a number of business owners and I'm like, it sounds like you don't really love what you do. And I think we all know in our lives as we've ran into things that, you know, we really passionate about, and we look at our energy and effort level in those things versus things that we aren't so passionate or energetic about. And I think it's twofold, right? It's one, you know, having the, you know, having the wherewithal to say, hey, I'm not passionate about this. Like, I don't like doing this. Because I think that's where we lose kind of purpose, right? It's like, I just don't have the same passion for it. And I think that's to your point where things can change. And I think that's okay. But I think it's also, well, then what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? And then let's find those things so that we can, you know, kind of even as the leader, get you in the right seat on the bus. You know, I think one of the things that I'm not great at, I can do the visionary piece really well. The whole like operating the day to day and kind of that integrator role, like that's just not something I'm great at. I mean, people tease me around here all the time. Like, did you look over that? I did. Did anyone look over it that pays any attention to detail? And I was like, good point. Maybe we ought to have someone do that because I am not that person. But I think that's okay. And I think that's part of growing the business, right? And it kind of bleeds into, you know, what are you passionate about? Maybe you're a passionate integrator and you need a visionary on your team so that, again, you can be purposeful in what you do every day. And I think that that's, to me, where as the business scales and you can no longer wear as many hats, that's the time where you need to kind of figure out, okay, maybe something needs to change here. And I think the biggest thing is that's okay. And it may be a good indicator as your passion and your, and you feel like your purpose may have is waning. That may be the point to take a step back and figure out, okay, well, what's the next step in this business? Or, hey, I'm stuck and my passion has dwindled because I can't get past this particular level. Well, then it may be, you know, reaching out for help or bringing someone on to help or whatever that looks like. But I think that those are good indicators of you know, something needs to change within the business.
Do you think the I mean, this might be out there, but do you think the market can change someone's purpose? Like, I just wonder if like the conditions of the market or the time frame, you know, of whatever's happening can change someone's purpose.
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, when it gets hard, you know, you may find that, oh, I don't enjoy this as much because even though I may know the things that I need to do, I need to focus on the basics and the average ticket and conversion rate. I don't really like to focus on that. So, you know, yeah, I think it definitely could. I think it's something to be aware of like, hey, do I still love this even though it's gotten harder or the conditions have changed or, you know, something's a little bit different. I think that that's, you know, that's part of being a responsible business owner is understanding. And I think it's okay too. I feel like so often, you know, when we're leaders, we put others first. And I think, yes, you have to, but I also think when it comes to purpose and what you're doing, it's okay to be a little bit selfish for a minute. and say, hey, I've got to love what I'm doing, or at the end of the day, I'm going to let down all these people that I'm leading.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. You're absolutely right, because you got to be best for yourself, number one, right? To be better for anybody else. I want to just say, you know, as I was thinking about doing this episode, and I almost like completely avoid it because I'm like, that's going to be cheesy because we're talking about purpose. But it literally is the foundation of all things, right? Because it's what you're about. It's who you are. It's your DNA. It's the things that you want to accomplish. Like, it is the driver. Like, that's what it's meant to be. And though we're talking mostly about, you know, business, you know, this is personal too, right? And you had mentioned, you know, when, you know, once you got, you know, married to Emily and you had, you know, Blake and you have, you know, little Pete, you got your family, like, your purpose does change a little bit. It happened for me too, but you know, I was always really good at keeping my personal goals separate from my business goals until I couldn't, until my business became my personal goals. I don't know if that happened to you or not, but like, you become so wrapped up in, like, especially if you are an owner in the business or you're, you know, a GM or whatever, like, where your life becomes the business. And damn, it got really hard to separate those two once they came together.
Yeah. I mean, and I think this is something that some people, you know, go through as well. And I've went through it, you know, is this whole concept of identity. And this is what you and I have talked about. And I feel like we've talked about it in groups and stuff like that, of like, who am I? You know, you start out in business, and like you said, as the business grows, that is your thing. Like, people know me as one of the Peterman brothers. Well, you know, yes, that is helpful for business and stuff like that, but it can also get tangled. It can get entangled really quick. I would say probably where that shows its head probably most is, you know, in my relationship with my wife and my kids, right? It's like, well, I'm thinking about business 24/7. When can I shut it off? And you find it difficult to shut it off because that is your identity. That's what's, you know, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what's been created. And here we are, and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this person can coexist in my personal life and my professional life. And I think it's something that, you know, I grapple with and try to figure out, like, how can I be the best dad and husband while also, you know, running this business that has consumed so much of my life.
Yeah. And by the way, like, that has happened to me. I mean, there's times when I was traveling. I mean, I mean, 200, you know, I mean, so many days, it was insane. And that's hard when you got family, right? And you have to be mindful of your family. Now, it's unique because my wife works in the business, so she understands to an extent. But she also knows, you know, the why behind it is good. We're trying to provide. Right. So these things are happening and it's impacting, you know, your personal life or whatever, but it's not a bad thing. It's you're trying to provide. Like, I have a hard time shutting it off, you know, too. I mean, shit, half the time you and I are together, we're either joking about something, you're talking about business stuff, right? Cause that's what we enjoy. You know, but for most of you listening, I'm sure anybody who's grown a business or is currently, you know, trying to build your business has suffered with this a little bit is, yeah, man, it kind of messes with your relationship a little bit. But it's not because you're trying to do that. It's you're focused on, you know, trying to build something. And so the thought is, man, if I build this, I can provide XYZ for, you know, my family or XYZ for my employees. And that happens. So then you got to just kind of, like, you know, the hardest thing I've had to learn for myself that I still struggle with all these years later is to slow down. And to, like, just be still. I can't, like, I can be gone for 2 weeks and be like, God, I'm so thankful to be home. You know, like, I was on that stint where we did the Havasupai Falls hike that just bumped up to Stagecoach. Then I had like 3 days home, and then I was off to Turks and Caicos for the Rhino Sales and Snow trip. And I was on, you know, thank God I was home for one day on Saturday. I was like, man, I need this day. I'm not doing anything this weekend. Come Sunday, I was like, okay, I can't sit here anymore. I got to go do something. You know, but, you know, or I started working, you know, on different emails and stuff. So I still get caught up in it. You know, it's just because I don't want anybody listening to think it's bad to become your business. I'm using air quotes to become your business, but you got to learn how to shut it off too, like, and find some time to make sure you're present, be where your feet are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what you said there is extremely important, is it's not a bad thing. It's natural to want to throw yourself into whatever it is at 100%. It's just, I think, again, resetting sometimes, understanding what that purpose is and where you're needed, where you can be impactful. You know, sometimes it's easier to be impactful at work because people listen. My 5 and 2 year old don't listen all the time. And so that I struggle with that sometimes. I think this is all great stuff to, again, you know, as a business owner, there's a lot of things thrown at you. There's a lot of pressure that you either take on yourself or that is thrown upon you. And I think when we can get back down to, why am I truly doing this? Like, why am I truly doing this? Then for me, at least, you know, just reflecting on that sometimes is time to kind of recalibrate. And I think that that's easy to do. You know, I think also in this business and in this, and you talked about environment earlier, you know, yeah, the business has been a lot tougher over the last 8-9 months than it has been, you know, over the last previous 2-3 years. And so you've got to adapt to that. And I think, you know, kind of understanding, you know, where your passions lie, what your true purpose is a natural thing to do. And I think it's totally okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you lose sight of it or you get off track. I get off track. Guess what? I'm destined to get off track here very soon. And then you just got to pull yourself back. I mean, it's just part of it.
Yeah. You know what? We kind of actually witnessed a little bit of this in the last podcast episode with Rachel, because, you know, she had been in that, you know, in her family business where it just kind of was stagnant at that 2 million mark. And, you know, it was the old way of doing it. And her dad, you know, is old school. And she comes in and wants to be more innovative. Well, innovation was not necessarily in the core values of the business prior to her coming in. So yeah, man, like she's actively going through that sort of change, the business, right? She's coming in with a new, fresh mindset, trying to build it. And I thought it was really, like, the feedback that I got from that podcast. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you almost made me feel like an asshole because I called her a small business of 3.5 million. You're like, well, she's not necessarily. I'm like, well, you know, pound sand, she's a son of a bitch. I actually felt bad because I was like, you know what? Damn, I did say she's small. So I felt the need to, you know, to be like, no, what I meant was in comparison. And I didn't mean that. But it is, you know, I'm impressed by her. You can tell she still has a lot of things, you know, to learn, but her mind's in the right place. Her, you know, her purpose for growing the business is right. She wants to provide. She wants to provide for, you know, more than what they've had before for their staff, and do that for more people, like, in the tri-state area around her. So, like, her, you know, her shit's in the right place. Like, her purpose is in the right place. At least that's what it seemed to me. So we kind of got to see, like, a real life version of that last week.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a lot of fun. It's so cool to see, you know, people that, you know, again, have taken over that. And obviously it pulls at my heartstrings a little bit to see these kind of family businesses evolve and how the passion and the purpose can sometimes change. I think that's another great piece to bring up. You know, our business, you talk about changing, is, you know, it changed the purpose of our business drastically changed when my brother and I took over. And it wasn't that the purpose was wrong before. It was just my dad's purpose and, like, goals and different stuff like that were different than my brother and I's. And what we've seen is, you know, yeah, the company was good back then. I hope it's better today. I think he would even say that, you know, hey, this, we've learned a lot. We've come a long way. We're able to provide more, all of those things. So I think that too, when you talk about, as it relates to last week's episode, and then, you know, obviously there's a lot of family businesses out there, that generational change, I think is critical. One, that it's okay that it changes. I also think too, that for that first generation or the prior generation handing it over, the one thing that I will say that I am so blessed that my dad allowed us to do was he allowed us to change the purpose. And if he wouldn't have allowed us to change the purpose, I think we would have had a very tough time, you know, finding ours, because it wasn't the same. And, you know, when you jump from one generation to the next, you know, it can be, oh, well, that's just them running their dad's business, or he allowed them to change course and go this direction. And all of a sudden, you know, they've created something that, you know, maybe is a little bit more special and, you know, has impacted even more people.
Yeah. It's, and even since I first met you, man, like, look where the business has gone, you know, and what you guys have done, and getting to know, you know, Pete. And it's like, listen, when Pete was a kid, or when Pete started the business, you know, or when Pete was growing up, it's different than when you grew up. Right. So like, yeah, shit's different. World's different. Yeah. Business is different. Opportunity is different. Like, there's a lot of new things, you know, technology is different. So of course it's okay. You know, and I people sometimes tell me, you know, and talk about, you know, they're like, be a faith-based business. And they're like, hey man, these are my personal beliefs. You know, I want to have good integrity. We want to have great customer service. We want to have, you know, we want to be a faith-based business. We're like, and then they have problems translating that to the business. Like, they don't want to offend anybody that I'm a Christian or I'm a whatever. You know, I think there's, my opinion in that is, you be what you are, right? It doesn't mean you got to like push it down somebody's throat. But if you're a faith-based business, then you're a faith-based business based on these principles, right? Whatever it is. And don't be afraid of those things. I mean, Rhino's a faith-based business. So, but I'm not cramming it down anybody's throat. It's just, I know my own priorities. Now, I don't have that in my company values, but it's certainly one of my purposes. It's one of my beliefs, right? And because I've been given to best serve the masses, and I treat it that way. So don't be afraid of like talking about those things, you as the individual. Not as long as you're not like, you know, you can't push that agenda down to everybody's throat, but you certainly can stand on what you believe and who you are. You know, I'm gonna wrap with one quick thing, Chad. We're like 50 minutes into this thing. And I was thinking about this while you were talking just about your transition with, you know, you and Tyler taking over the business. But, you know, one thing around purpose that I've used in the business for, I wouldn't say forever, but I'd say at least the last, like, call it 8, 9, 10 years is, and Anna actually taught me a version of this, and it was, you know, let's forget about our purpose of the business. It's like, somebody wants to bring change to me, and producer Ryan, you're going to exactly know what I'm talking about when I say this. You know, when somebody brings something to me, or somebody brings something to you to say, hey, I think we should change this, or I think we should add this service, or I think we should do this part differently, or hey, I think we should, you know, look at the financials and pay attention to this line, or like whatever this is, or if they want to go and do a training somewhere, or they want to go, whatever it is, the three things I ask for from that person who's coming to me are, do you know what they are, Ryan? Can you yell it out loud?
Purpose, plan, payoff.
Close. Purpose, process, payoff. So I always come to me and say, hey, what is the purpose of you wanting to make this change? Like, number one, like, let's talk about the purpose of that. Nice job, buddy. You paid attention. That's good. You got it. It's, you know, why are you asking me to make this change? And one, that's for me, you know, I want to hear them out, but one, it's for me to understand based on what I know versus what they know, does this make sense? Okay, yes, it makes sense. This is the purpose of what I want. Hey, I want to go ahead and go to this training because it's going to make me better at post-production. You know, we'll talk about that. Okay, now what's the process? Because I want them thinking through, okay, cool, I get your purpose, I can get behind it, what's the process? And then ultimately the third P is payoff. So purpose, process, payoff. Why do you want to do what you're asking me to do? How do you plan on doing it and implementing it? And then what's the outcome of it for our customers or for yourself, for our customers? Like, what is that? So I take them down this path of purpose, process, payoff. It selfishly helps me understand what the hell they're trying to accomplish and where they're coming from and then how we're going to get there, because I'm more like you, where it's like, I'm a visionary, I'm a marketing guy, I want to do all the things to get the attention. But when it comes to all the follow-up, managing all that stuff, I want nothing to do with it. It's not me. But I use purpose, process, payoff. Do you guys do anything like that? Like, or do you do anything like that where you kind of open it up to your staff to come to you with new things, or do like a whiteboard session, or anybody come to you and say, hey man, like I think we're doing it this way. We should be doing it that way.
No, I'm just going to steal that.
Perfect.
What you do. So, we don't have a process, but I like that one. So, to me, yeah, if you don't mind, we'll do that.
Perfect.
I'll start every conversation with a wise man once said, what's your purpose behind this?
A wise, incredibly good looking, charismatic, smart human being that I've met said purpose, process, payoff. All right, listen, I don't know how helpful this was or wasn't on this episode, but at least it was good conversation between you and I, if nothing else. Listeners, hopefully you enjoyed, you pulled something away from this. And hey, maybe it was just like Chad. He pulled away purpose, process, payoff. Hey, why is it that you're bringing this thing to me to make our business better, to make you better? What's the process and what's it going to do for you long run or our customers long term? It's a great exercise. Chad, I appreciate you, buddy. I'm excited to see you. I'm excited to see Amanda hang out a little bit on the lake and see if we can't get Mason to catch some fish.
Oh, he'll catch some.
All right, listeners, listen, if you haven't found your purpose, figure it out. If you don't even know what the hell we're talking about, go to ChatGPT. ChatGPT will help you find your purpose. Or, hey, Robin, duplicate, find somebody else's business. You know, one thing you said too, Chad, and I'll end with this is, you know, part of what can help define your purpose is one, your personal beliefs, but then also in your business, if you look at and maybe what it is if it's not money, and I'm telling you, please don't make your purpose just about money. Please, please, please don't make it about money. But maybe look at what some of your competitors are doing and that you want to be different than them. Maybe make that your purpose. The purpose of me running my business is I'm not going to be the cheapest guy that's out there. I'm not going to just try and a race to the bottom on price and get there. I'm not just going to maybe use some of the opportunities you see against some of your competitors as the beginning of what your purpose is. And listen, even if it's something as simple as just like, hey, you know, I'm going to maintain my integrity no matter what's going on in the business. And I know I'm going to give us the best customer service that I can, because those are two things that you can accomplish regardless of size. So whatever it is, find your purpose. And if you don't know how to find your purpose, I got an exercise for you. It's called Purpose, Process, Payoff. You're welcome. You got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.